President Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden are set to square off in their first debate.
Some of the biggest things to look for is how Trump will stack up against history and whether Biden can deliver under intense pressure.
And J.P. Morgan is on the hook for nearly $1 billion for market manipulation. Plus, a new federal recommendation may have you thinking twice about your sugar intake. It's Tuesday, September 29th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. J.P. Morgan Chase has agreed to pay $920 million to resolve multiple investigations into market manipulation. As part of a settlement with the Justice Department, the bank admitted its traders manipulated markets for precious metals and treasuries over a period of 8 years using a tactic known as spoofing. The Justice Department has charged 20 people with spoofing-related crimes since 2015, with banks and other financial institutions collectively paying over $1 billion in fines. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin spoke about Democrats' new pared-down coronavirus relief package today, and Pelosi says she's hopeful a deal could be reached this week. As we reported this morning, the new plan reduces the price tag of Democrats' proposal from $3.5 trillion to $2.2 trillion, but prospects of reaching a deal before the election have faded in recent weeks. Lawmakers are still divided on the level of weekly unemployment assistance and aid to states and cities. The portion of people testing positive for COVID-19 in New York City has risen to 3.25%, the highest rate since early June. The rise in cases is tied to 9 zip codes in southern Brooklyn and Queens. Cases are also rising in nearby Rockland and Orange counties. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will increase enforcement of wearing face masks and social distancing, and that closing businesses and schools remains a possibility. New York is among the states hardest hit by the pandemic. More than 33,000 people have died in the state, according to Johns Hopkins University. And we've been reporting how brick-and-mortar retailers have been particularly hard hit by the pandemic. Now, a new report shows retail bankruptcies, liquidations, and store closings in the U.S. reached record levels in the first half of this year. The report by professional services firm BDO points to factors including a shift to online shopping, which were accelerated by the pandemic. 18 retailers filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in the first 6 months of 2020, and 11 more filed from July to mid-August. BDO says 2020 is on pace to rival 2010. In that year, 48 retailers filed for bankruptcy in the wake of the recession. Coming up after the break, what to watch for tonight in the first presidential debate of 2020. Tonight is the first presidential debate of 2020. With just over a month until Election Day, President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden have plenty of ground to cover. For more on what to watch for, we turn now to national political reporter Ken Thomas. Hi, Ken. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
So, Ken, first of all, what is this debate going to look like, especially in terms of precautions being taken during the pandemic, which obviously is also going to be a huge topic tonight?
This will be a debate unlike any other. President Trump and Joe Biden will not shake hands at the start of the debate because of the coronavirus. We'll be watching to see if Biden walks on stage wearing a face mask as a way of projecting responsibility. The audience will be much smaller, roughly 70 people, and everyone in the audience at Case Western Reserve will undergo testing for COVID-19 in advance. There will be some continuity. The moderator is Chris Wallace of Fox News. He moderated one of the 2016 debates, and he's well known for his tough questioning. He's likened his job to being a cop on the beat with the goal of trying to keep people honest. He has a reputation for being well prepared, and there will be a lot of focus on how much fact-checking he does during the night. Some of the biggest things to look for is how Trump will stack up against history and whether Biden can deliver under intense pressure. For Trump, incumbent presidents typically have trouble in their first debate. Barack Obama really struggled against Mitt Romney in their first debate in 2012. George W. Bush also had a difficult time defending his record against John Kerry back in 2004. Being president gives you a huge advantage. We haven't had a president lose re-election since 1992, but this is one of the few times a president is put on the defensive on a national stage, and that can often be jarring. And for Biden, there will be an enormous amount of pressure to confront Trump and make the type of direct case that Democrats have been pushing for 4 years. Biden at times stumbled on the debate stage during the primaries, but his advisors say that he tends to shine in these one-on-one debates much more so than when there are multiple candidates on stage. And Trump has consistently said that Biden is not up to the job. So it will be up to Biden to offer a vision to the country on how the U.S. will emerge from the pandemic. And he's also going to need to show that he can handle it when the president goes negative. The Trump campaign is indicated that they're going to try to rattle Biden on stage. So a looming question will be whether Biden can handle the heat.
Let's talk about some of the topics President Trump will need to defend his record on, starting with the coronavirus pandemic. Biden has attacked Trump's handling of the crisis, and Trump has defended his record. How do you think this will play out?
The pandemic is going to be a key issue tonight. It's been a dominant issue in the race, and the public's perception of the virus really will be a key factor in how this election turns out. Biden wants to make this a central message on the debate stage. He will argue that the president badly mishandled the virus and the country has suffered as a result. The nation recently passed the death toll number of 200,000 deaths. So look for Biden to question Trump's stewardship of the public health in this country. The president has blamed China for the virus, but he's been talking about the increases in testing and the potential for a vaccine to be approved. So he wants to show the progress that has been made. How the president deals with these questions and how Biden makes the case on how he could handle it better, that will be fundamental to this debate.
We're also in the middle of a contentious battle over President Trump's Supreme Court nomination. How might this play out during the debate tonight?
The Trump campaign believes that the Supreme Court vacancy gives them a huge opportunity to connect with their base of voters. So you should look for Trump to highlight his nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. If she's confirmed, conservatives would have a 6-3 court majority, which would be a huge accomplishment for the president. Biden will want to turn this into a discussion on healthcare and the possibility of the court overturning the Affordable Care Act and everything it entails, such as protections for patients with pre-existing conditions. He's also likely to point out that the court could overturn Roe v. Wade, the 1973 decision that legalized abortion. But above all, Biden will argue that the next president should get the ability to make the nomination, given the precedent that Republicans set in 2016 when they refused to consider Judge Merrick Garland.
Another huge topic tonight connected to the coronavirus pandemic is the economy. We're seeing a painfully slow recovery and one that's not happening evenly or equally for all Americans. How do you think the candidates will address the recovery tonight as another coronavirus relief bill is still tied up on Capitol Hill?
The economy and the pandemic will really go hand in hand, I think, in this debate. Trump will try to use the debate to point to the progress that the economy has made since the spring. He's likely to tout the number of jobs created, the strength of the stock market, and other metrics. He's also likely to warn that Biden's plans to raise taxes would hurt the economy just as it's attempting to recover. Biden will point to the big hole that the economy has been in since the pandemic started and say that the country needs to build back better than it was before, that there are a number of factors that have created an unfairness in the economy. And we've seen a very populist message from Biden of late, and we're expecting him to try to appeal to blue-collar workers, union members, people like that who he would argue have been hurt.
On Sunday, the New York Times published a report that found President Trump paid just $750 a year in federal income taxes in 2016 and 2017, and none in 10 of the previous 15 years. Trump's called that report fake news, saying he did pay taxes, although he's declined to say just how much. But it's certainly putting him on the defensive ahead of the debate tonight as he looks to appeal to working class Americans.
That's right. Biden released his 2019 tax returns in the hours before the debate. He's now released 22 years worth of tax records. That speaks to how much the Biden campaign wants this to be a major topic in the debate. It feeds into the populist argument that Biden has been making of late, He's been framing the race as Scranton versus Park Avenue. And he's trying to say that the president is out of touch with the working class voters who helped elect him in 2016. Biden's campaign cut a digital ad about it, but the former vice president hasn't addressed the report yet in public. And that's designed to have maximum impact in the debate. The president, meanwhile, has denied the Times report, but we expect him to face direct, sustained questions on this, especially in light of Biden's release of his tax record. The president has refused to release his own tax records, and that breaks precedent with past presidents, so he's likely to face questions about his own tax bill. It's an important topic for the president to push back on because it goes into the whole question of whether the economy is fair to the types of working class voters who backed Trump in 2016. Keeping that base of support is crucial to the president's reelection efforts.
Ken, this debate comes after a summer of deep unrest across the country over issues of racial justice. We've heard different messages from Trump and Biden on these issues. Do you expect this to be among the questions tonight?
We do. Yeah, the May killing of George Floyd while in police custody in Minneapolis has had a huge impact on this race. We've seen other high-profile police shootings of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin and Breonna Taylor in Kentucky. Trump has often cast himself as the president of law and order, someone who is closely aligned with law enforcement. And we expect him to continue to drive that message in the debate and warn that a Biden presidency would lead to chaos in the streets. For Biden, this has been an issue that's been very personal. He has long pointed to the unrest in Charlottesville, Virginia, back in 2017 as the reason he entered the race. And we should look for him to accuse Trump of sowing racial division and inciting violence. And Biden will also make the point that you can't have violence or destruction, that these protests need to be peaceful. But this is one of those major dividing lines in the campaign.
Ken, a lot of potential topics may come up tonight. Anything else you're looking out for in particular that we should watch for?
Well, the irony of this campaign is that despite all of the turmoil that this country has been through this year, the polling has been remarkably stable. Biden has held a consistent lead in national polls, and he leads Trump in most of the battleground states. But both campaigns feel like it's a race that could tighten, and the key for Biden is to motivate his base of core Democrats while hanging on to the support of voters who have been traditionally in the Republican column, seniors, independents, suburban women. And Trump needs to shake up the race, and he needs to bring back some of the voters who helped him in 2016, certainly seniors, but he also needs to do better among women and voters with college degrees. The Trump campaign has been very bullish lately on his ability to reach Latino voters. So that could be a part of the electorate to watch in the coming weeks. But all of this will come to head in the debate tonight.
Wall Street Journal political reporter Ken Thomas. Ken, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks.
And to follow our live coverage of tonight's debate, you can head to WSJ.com or the WSJ app. And finally, there's a fight brewing over sugar, specifically how much of it Americans should have each day. Current guidelines call for no more than 10% of your daily calories to come from added sugars in things like candy and sweetened beverages. But amid rising rates of obesity, a federal committee is now recommending a 6% maximum. That's getting some pushback from the food and beverage industry. The federal recommendation isn't binding, but our health reporter Andrea Peterson says the trade groups know it has an effect anyway.
It also does influence what food manufacturers make. And the American Beverage Association, the National Confectioners Association, already these industries have been prompted by, because the previous guidelines, they had a 10% limit. And so, you know, a lot of these companies are making voluntary moves to reduce portion sizes, to add more products with less sugar. So it does also influence what people will see on grocery store shelves.
The Agriculture and Health and Human Services departments have until the end of the year to decide on whether to adopt the committee's recommendations. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.